Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the American Federation of Government Employees District Report. And folks, we appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. That is for sure. Hey, today we're talking with the EPA out of, the Philadelphia area, but they've got a fairly large jurisdiction. And joining us, we've got Gary Morton. He's a local president of AFGE Local 3631 out of Philly. Gary, welcome to the District Report.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Gary, it's our pleasure to have you. I understand that your Chief Stewart's on the line with us.
Yes, my Chief Stewart. Where would I be without her? Jan Nation. Not only does she regulate human resources at the EPA, but she's an excellent asset for the EPA.
There you go. There you go. So both of you guys are members of the American Federation of Government Employees. We're doing this on your break time, and we're talking about some of the things that are going on. The EPA, unfortunately, it appears to be catching a little bit of short shift right now, not quite getting the support that it should be getting. Gary, you're responsible, or the EPA that is responsible for Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, West Virginia, and D.C. That's a pretty wide swath of the country.
Yes, and we have to go out. We do have other offices in this region located in Fort Meade, Maryland, and Willing, West Virginia, and they help go out the area. But that just shows the dedication of employees, how we're willing to travel to make sure the American public has clean air and clean water to keep them healthy.
There you go. Jan, I understand that within your district, you guys are responsible for about 700 people. That's not a lot of people when you consider how big of a territory the EPA district is. I mean, wow, your people must be jumping pretty good.
Yes. As we mentioned, we do have a couple of satellite offices, but it is an awful lot of people. And we've just, in the last of your visa, our numbers are down by another 50 people that have left. So a lot of people are scrambling to do their work around here.
Let me ask you this. I mean, we know that the Veterans Administration and some of the other agencies within the federal government have got manpower freezes, which means that as somebody leaves, they're not being replaced by a federal employee. Unfortunately, they're being replaced by much more expensive contractors. Is there a hiring freeze in the EPA?
There has been recently. As a matter of fact, we have had acting managers, because they have not been able to hire them. I believe that the hiring freeze has just been lifted, but you mentioned contractors. I just want to mention that approximately 70% of the EPA's budget go to contracting and to grants, which go directly to the state. So when you're cutting our numbers of personnel, you're cutting from the 30% of our budget, which is a big cut.
Yeah, absolutely. Gary.
And if I might jump in, we can hire, but we need permission, and we have to present a justification, and then it has to be approved by senior management. So the ability to hire is one thing. Whether they will actually backfill a position is another.
Well, your manning documents, the amount of personnel that you're authorized is based on what the prudent manpower levels have to be for you to do your job. And if you drop below that number, it slows down the process. Isn't that right, Gary?
That's right. And right now they want to slow down the process by cutting our budget and cutting our manpower. We're at levels that we were at in 1970, the pre-Reagan administration. We've only been in business since 1970. So if we're going to have those type of levels, we don't have the people necessary to keep the American public safe.
And let's talk about keeping the American public safe. I mean, Gary, you guys are responsible for things like, when we clean up in Texas, we clean up in Florida, we clean up in Puerto Rico after these last hurricanes, you're the ones that are responsible to make sure that everything is healthy and safe for people to move back into those communities and start the rebuilding process. Isn't that right?
That's right. EPA, we're on the national priority list, and we also react. FEMA does a great job of providing resources for the victims. However, EPA will clean it up. We have sent people from our region to backfill regions 6 and 4 who are reacting to the spill. So it's an emergency situation, and we had to ask for volunteers to go down and fill in.
Right. And you see, that's one of the things a lot of people don't realize. You know, I'm ex-military. I don't know if either one of you guys are. Federal employees with the military that work for the Department of Defense deploy forward with their military units. Oftentimes, you know, we talk about DOD civilians. We talk about FEMA going into harm's way. We talk about the EPA going into harm's way. You guys are first responders.
Yes, I mean, they are. We got a long history. I'm sorry jumping in.
No, it's okay.
Mr. Showalter. What we've done, the anthrax, the BP oil spill, mm-hmm. Katrina, mm-hmm. you know, we are first responders. And we are putting our, first of all, putting our health at risk. That's our job. Also, we're leaving our families behind to go down there. So I support all the military efforts and the federal government that the people are responding to Puerto Rico, Harvey, Irma, and those disasters.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, all too often when there's contractors out there with the DOD and with FEMA and the EPA and everybody else, they don't have to go into harm's way.
No. And another thing, and I'm going to turn it over to Jan because she's well-versed on our contractors. A contractor costs, I believe, 1.8 more than what a federal employee cost. And I never knew a federal employee who cleaned up the environment for profit. We do it because we love Americans.
There you go. Hey, listen, guys, we're going to take a short break. But, Jan, when we come back, I want to talk to you about contractors. I want to talk to you about not living up to the promise of the contract and what happens anytime the government wants to change it.
Okay.
Fantastic. Listen, guys, we'll be back here very shortly. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the American Federation of Government Employees District Report.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the American Federation of Government Employees District Report. We appreciate you hanging out with us today. We're talking with Gary Morton and Jan Nation, both local officials with EPA Local 3631 out of Philadelphia. Jan, Gary, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much, you guys being here today, taking time, you know, during your break and your lunch hour to talk to us. We appreciate that. But Jan, before the break, we were talking about contractors. Gary brought up the point that it costs 1.8 times more to hire a contractor to come in and do the same job as a civil servant. Oftentimes, a veteran who wants to continue to serve in the civil service capacity after the military service. It's a long-honored tradition here in this country. Unfortunately, we've got politicians out there that are doing everything they can to sell huge profits to their campaign contributors, and that's me saying that, not you guys, so I don't want to get you involved in anything along any talks about that. But the long and the short of it is Jan, all too often, the promise of contracting doesn't live up to what's been promised. I mean, quite honestly, it's not cheaper, it's not better, it's not faster, it's not easier, anytime the government has a change in how they want to run a program, they have to go back and renegotiate with the contractors, and that always costs more money. And quite frankly, the contractors lowball the first couple of years, and then when the agency no longer has the ability to do that function anymore, they jack the prices up. Am I missing something here, Jan?
No, you're right on. The contracts take an awful lot of time to negotiate. And then, as you said, one of the things that I've noticed is that all of a sudden when you need to shift the priorities at a particular site, you know, many times you do have to go back and renegotiate the contracts, which, again, is costing more time, more resources, and more money. And one other thing I'd like to mention, too, that you talked about is that the EPA, as well as the federal government as a whole, you know, really makes a priority of hiring veterans. And it bothers me a bit sometimes when they keep saying, we're going to cut your numbers down, that they don't realize, the people in Washington don't realize, that you're also hurting the veterans when you're cutting our numbers down, because we honor their service and we want to recruit those people to work because they have the experience and the knowledge.
Yeah, besides, we already paid for their training, didn't we? I mean, really, from a practical sense, the federal government has already paid for a veteran's training to do the job. And the military provides some of the best training out there when it comes to getting it done. You know, no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Gary, let me ask you a question. You're a local president.
Yes.
If one of your managers comes up to you and says, hey, Gary, you know what? We've got some new equipment coming in. I want to sit down with you for a couple minutes, talk about it. Let's bang out a training plan. Let's bang out how we're going to do this. And, you know, we can sign a memorandum of understanding, and next contract to come, you know, we'll get it included. That's pretty much how it goes, right?
Well, we don't even know, because the government has the right to hire, assign work, choose the means and method by which the work will be conducted. So when a union gets involved, we have to lobby either Congress, and it's after the fact, or prior to an amendment or a bill. So we don't get a say. All we can do is lobby. But the problem is that some of the congressmen, and I would say affluent people, own these contracting companies, and they want to make sure that the money stays more or less in the family.
Right. But the long and short is, you know, oftentimes, you know, I was with the federal government. We, you know, we had partnership, pre-decisional conversations about things that are going on. I hope that's still there, because it's a good program. But the long and short of it is when the government decides that they're going to change the program with federal employees, it doesn't cost the government more. I mean, a good manager will come to the union and say, hey, guys, you know, this is what we got to do. Ideas, suggestions, what's the best way to implement that? Okay, we got a plan. Let's move forward.
That's how it should work.
Right.
But right now, with the politicos in Washington running the agency, the EPA was run by career EPA employees. Now the president has installed politicals in positions of authority that will dictate our budget. Now, they don't have the institutional knowledge of the state relationships.
Right.
Another thing is, EPA has 14 different regions and a number of labs. Many of our issues are territorial based on the geographic location.
Right.
Now, we have Marcellus Shale in Pennsylvania.
Right.
They have the King Gold Mine in Colorado. So how can one individual, without prior knowledge of all the issues, dictate to the EPA? So
I don't get it.
Well, that's because they want to run the EPA as a for-profit agency. There's the misnomer that we take away jobs. We have clean, renewable energy, the windmill, solar power. We're not taking away any jobs. We're protecting human health and the environment, which is our mission.
There you go.
Let me jump in here. What I see what they're doing with the agency is they're changing the paradigm on how we do our jobs. For example, they're coming out next week with a new strategic plan called Cooperative Federalism. Well, we've been doing that for the last 30 years. We incorporate everything we do with all of the states that we are responsible for oversight, guidance, for communication, for providing grant money. In Pennsylvania alone, in the last 5 years, we have given $225 million in grant money to the state of Pennsylvania. So suddenly for them to call this now cooperative federalism, we're kind of wondering, how the shift is not only going to affect how we do our job, but how it's going to affect the states that are in our different regions. And it's kind of a little scary on thinking of what might be happening to the environment.
Jan, let me ask you this. Is it your impression or is it your thoughts that what some in the administration want to do is stop EPA enforcement and turn the EPA into a cash cow for some businesses, not all businesses, but some businesses in your area?
I can see that. I mean, I think that, maybe their idea that we want to empower the states, might be a lofty ideal. But again, they don't have the expertise in a lot of these areas, and we provide that expertise. So to suddenly shift that and make us, a business, and interacting with with the different states that we have is causing a total shift. And I don't think that you should be able to do that in one fell swoop. We're not ready for that. The states aren't ready for that. We're not equipped to suddenly do our jobs totally differently.
Absolutely. Jan, let me ask you this, and Gary, I'm going to ask you this. What is it, Jan, in your opinion, that the EPA should be doing as opposed to what it is doing?
Well, I wish we would hold on to the goals and the missions that we have established. And if you want to branch out from that in different directions, that's okay. But don't get away from that core that has served the EPA for the last 30 years that has protected our environment so that we don't have a love canal, that the spills that we have are isolated ones that can be manageable. And if we hang on to those ideals instead of throwing them out for somebody else's idea of how we should be doing our job, I think we need to hang on to what we have.
There you go. Gary, last words, your thoughts.
We need to remember where we came from. Cayuga River fire, Love Canal. President Nixon established the EPA to protect human health and the environment because the states did not have the resources. They required political oversight. They also required EPA oversight because we cannot make human health an economic issue. Our mission is to protect human health and the environment first, and worry about the economics at a later date.
And Nixon was a Republican and had a Republican House and Senate, didn't he?
Yes. And I know we're running out of time, but we now, and Jan can elaborate, we have states suing the EPA because they're saying we're not enforcing them.
Yeah, yesterday, Maryland filed suit against EPA for failure to require plants to comply with the Clean Air Act. They have said that there's 36 plants in Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia are violating the good neighbor provision of the Clean Air Act by not using pollution control technology that they already have. So this is what I see going forward. The states are going to be suing each other because pollution doesn't exist in a vacuum. It moves from state to state. And we need to have EPA as an oversight to regulate the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, and hazardous waste.
Absolutely. And that's a very important point. Guys, we are running out of time, but before we go, Gary, does Local 3631 have a website?
Yes. We're going to go with SaveTheUSEPA.org. And that'll tell, it has our videos, it has our mission. We need a fully funded EPA, and speaking with AFGE, we're going to ask that they propose $8.665 billion for FY18 to fully fund the federal government, and call your congressman and tell them we need a fully funded federal government and a fully funded EPA to protect the American people's health.
There you go.
The environment.
www.savetheusepa.org.
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. I'm Charles Showalter. You've been listening to the American Federation of Government Employees District Report.